Welcome back to another episode of Operation Evil. I'm your host, Nyoka.
I'm Rachel.
And today we have a special guest. Her name is Marie. And we will go ahead and give a trigger warning on this. We're entering Child Abuse Month. That's what April is, from what I'm told. And our guests will be talking a little bit about that and probably some sexual things. And there's just a lot of triggers in there all the way around. So I just want to give a heads up on that. But she wanted to bring awareness for anyone else that may be going through anything that she had experienced in the past. Whenever you're ready, Marie, you can take it away.
Now I'm nervous.
It's okay.
Don't be nervous. It's okay.
That's how we were with our first handful of episodes.
Yeah, you mentioned April is Child Abuse Awareness Month. I know a lot of people think that it's just like hitting kids or them getting physically hurt, but there's a lot of emotional abuse that goes on too that's just as damaging.
Absolutely.
So when I was born, my dad was friends with my mom's brother, and that's how they met. I don't know how long they were together. It wasn't very long. She got pregnant. And then when I was 9 months old on that day, they got married. When I got older and my dad started pretty much saying everything was my fault, the wedding was my fault, because if my mom hadn't got pregnant with me, he wouldn't have ruined 14 years of his life and had four more kids.
Oh, and how old were you when he's telling you this?
5, 6.
Wow, that's really awful. Yeah.
Did you even know what that meant? Like how did that make you feel? Like,
I'm 35 now, and ever since I can remember, I've never felt like anything but a burden to him. Oh. Like everything was my fault.
That's awful.
I was too young to remember it, but apparently it started getting really bad when I was about 6, 7 months old. They weren't married yet, and my dad was living about an hour and a half away from my mom. My mom was living with my aunt, and I kept getting really bad kidney infections and ear infections. They later figured out that the kidney infections were due to sexual abuse.
Oh my God. Old. Do we know from who?
My aunt's husband.
Oh my God, a family member.
Yeah, he did it to me and 6 other family members. Wow. Anyway, so I was very, very sick, needed to have medication. My dad wouldn't help my mom at all. So my mom's little brother, my uncle, he's 15, 16 years older than me. He sold his favorite horse, like his favorite thing in the world, just to buy my medication because my dad wouldn't help.
Wow.
Later, he told me the only reason that he got married to my mom was so that he could use me as a tax deduction. And he would say that every single year. I remember when I turned 18, he said that I was useless because I wouldn't give him a tax deduction anymore.
Oh my God.
So apparently the physical stuff started when I was about 18 months old. I kind of remember it, but I kind of don't. Apparently, I was sitting in the high chair, and my dad was in a bad mood that day, and I didn't finish the corn on my plate. And apparently, my grandma walked in and saw him just, like, beating the crap out of me, screaming at me about not eating corn. And my grandma, it was his mom, told him that if she ever saw him touch me again, that she'd kill him. My mom believed her, but she died a few years later.
Aww. Your protector was gone.
Yeah, I would say with her a lot. She died when I was 8. And I remember the day she died, I was really upset. And my dad told me to get over it. His own mom.
Do you think things got worse after she passed away and she couldn't keep an eye on you?
Yeah, I do. She died in June. And then that next spring, whenever the Kentucky Derby was, we had a party at our house. And everyone got to draw a name. Whoever's horse won, we would get $60. So I won. My dad tried to get me to trade him tickets so that he could win the money and got mad that I wouldn't give it to him. So my mom took me to Walmart. I was really excited to buy some new clothes. And there was a black bathing suit. I still remember it. It was black and it had like goldfish on it. And it was a two-piece. And I picked it out, went to show my dad that was standing around the corner because he was standing there with my mom. And right in front of everybody, I remember an old lady standing there. He said, "You can't wear that. You're too fat to wear a two-piece. Everyone's going to look at you and say how disgusting you look."
And you're 8?
So I cried the entire way home.
And how old were you here?
8.
Mm-mm.
You would always talk about how fat I was. Yes.
That's an eating disorder in the making.
skipping ahead, but when I was 14, they went through a very nasty divorce. My dad was mean to my mom. Right before she left, he threatened to throw her out of a window if she didn't stay.
So they got divorced when you were 14.
Yeah. My dad was cheating on my mom. The woman that he was cheating on my mom with happened to live across the street from my aunt. And I would go spend a lot of time with her. And when that one was kissing her, I told my mom. My dad got mad at me and blamed me. I mean, the fact that he cheated on her and got caught didn't matter. What mattered was I told on him. So he would have me go tell my mom this or tell her that or beg her to let him stay. I got put in a position I should have never been in because I was 14. That's not a child's place to save somebody's divorce. I didn't want him there. He knew I didn't want him there just because I'd seen how he treated my mom, how he treated us, but I did whatever he said, trying to please him. But it got so bad that my anxiety was so bad. I needed medication and I was cutting myself. I had an eating disorder. I was barely eating to the point where I would pass out at school sometimes, or almost feel like I was going to pass out. And one day it was really bad. So I went to the counselor's office and I told her everything, including the sexual abuse from my aunt's husband. So they called my parents, told them. My mom was like, you know, taking me to the doctor, trying to help me, refused to let me take any of the medication the doctor prescribed, said I didn't need it, that I was just doing it for attention. And told me that if I really wanted to cut, that I should make sure I cut deep enough, but let him get life insurance first. That way he'd get a payout when I died.
Wow.
I was 14. We were sitting in a car and I said, wouldn't you miss me if I was gone? He goes, not really. I don't really get attached to people.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Now you had mentioned, I'm going to take you back just a little bit before you continue with your teenage years. There was something with second grade and you were in band and playing a flute.
Yeah, it was the first time I'd ever tried to do anything in school. I tried Girl Scouts once, but my dad wouldn't take me to the meetings. He said it was stupid and a waste of time, that if I wanted to sell cookies, I could go to Walmart and get cookies. So I tried out for band. I did the flute. They showed me how, and I got pretty good at it. We had a couple of practices, and then we had just like a little concert course type thing. So I come home from school that day and I still remember how excited I was because it was the first time I was ever getting to do anything. And I went to my room and started looking for my flute and I couldn't find it. And my mom had gone to the store or something. So it was my dad there. And I was like, where's my flute? He was like, what flute? I said, the flute that you just bought me. He said, oh, I had to go pawn it. Don't worry. You're not good enough to play in a band anyway. If you got up there, you would just embarrass yourself. I saved you or did you a favor.
I can't even imagine being in second grade or whatever this young grade, young age is and hearing that.
I never did anything in school ever again. I never played sports. I never did clubs. I didn't do anything.
So another thing too, so not only did he bring you down with words, but that wasn't good enough. He wanted to physically make you feel bad as well. And you mentioned something about being 8 years old and a certain haircut that was forced on you.
Yeah. So my dad would go hang out with his friends that lived, I don't know, the next town over when my mom was able to work or had something to do. He'd go hang out there pretty much so he could do what he wanted. And somebody would watch us. Because at the time, my two sisters, I was 8. So they were 6 and 4. My mom later told me that this couple acted just like him. Like there was insurance fraud and their own child abuse, just not good people. So the wife said that she wanted to learn how to cut hair, that she knew how to cut hair, something like that, and wanted to know if she could cut our hair. This was the longest my hair had ever been. My hair is super thin, takes forever to grow out. So I loved my hair. It was probably about down to my shoulders. So my dad watched as this woman put a bowl on all of our heads and cut around it. There was huge chunks of our hair missing. It looked like a 1990s boy's haircut. Yeah, I remember sitting in the chair and just bawling, begging him not to cut my hair. And my dad would just scream at me to shut up.
So and he just probably did it to make you feel bad and no other reason.
He it was right around the same time that, you know, the old, I think it's like 1950s, 1960s, their white and black shoes kind of remind you of like bowling shoes.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Those little Oxfords or whatever.
Yes. Well, he bought us all a pair. I don't know why, but he did. And he got mine two sizes too small. And instead of sending them back, he just told me to wear them. So if he would catch me wearing some other type of shoe or complaining that they were two sizes too small, my feet were bleeding, he would still make me wear them. He did it. I swear he got some kind of satisfaction out of knowing that he was making somebody else suffer. I wear them until I literally, like, my foot busted through the shoe because it was so tight.
Oh, my God. What is your mom like during all this? Did she know what was happening?
She did. And I don't know if it was, she didn't have anywhere to turn and no way to take care of three kids at the time, later being four without him. I don't know. Her own stepdad was extremely abusive and she did not want to be in the house with him. And I can completely understand why. The things he did to my uncle were horrific. So I don't know if it was, couldn't get out and go anywhere, or she was being verbally and emotionally abused herself to the point that she didn't realize what was going on. I don't know.
So she grew up in an abusive environment, and then she married someone like her abuser.
Yep. And I later went on to marry someone just like my dad. So.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Whatever age you want to go from there, I just remember you writing a couple things about being eight, and then I was just thinking when your grandma passed, you were eight, so it seemed like that was like a big year. It seemed to be that you were going through stuff.
This was probably when I was about eight or nine. My grandparents, they lived here in the town that I live in now. We lived about an hour and a half away, so they would come down, stay the weekend, see us kids and whatever. They'd come down, and like one night we all went out shopping. It was Halloween time because I remember looking at decorations, but I had something at school that day, so I got home late. I didn't have a chance to eat anything before we went out. So my dad had called and ordered pizza to have it delivered right after we got home. So we get home. We're all getting ready for bed because at this time it's already 8, 9 o'clock. And I went in the kitchen to get a plate to get some pizza, and my dad walked in and said, "What the hell are you doing?" And I said, "I'm hungry. I'm going to get some pizza." He said, "I didn't order this pizza for you kids. I ordered it for the adults. You need to get your ass in bed right now." And I'm like, "I haven't ate today." He said, "Well, it's not going to hurt you to miss a couple meals." I have a lot of stories about food.
Angry.
A few years later, I had went and stayed the weekend at my best friend's house. And my parents weren't. Well, my parents weren't home. So I sat on the porch 5-10 minutes. It wasn't that long. And they come back and they had gotten fast food for dinner. And my mom told my dad, she said, "You need to go back out and get something for her because she hasn't ate yet and this is dinner." And again, he told her he wasn't worried about going to get me food, that I could afford to miss a couple meals. I was 8, 9 years old. My mom wasn't able to hold down a full-time job because he would work, you know, day shift, come home, would do anything. He refused to watch us so she could work. And then when she couldn't work, he would complain about how useless she is because she can't work. I don't know how you expect a mom with three kids to work when there's no childcare. It's like he wanted both things at once, no matter what. He wanted her to have food ready for him the second he got home from work. The house clean, the kids quiet, very old school, like when the women's in the kitchen and the men's at work type thing. And this was in the 90s. But when my mom was able to work, she got a job at Mr. Getty's Pizza. And the days that she would work, he wouldn't feed us dinner. He'd take us up there so that she wouldn't make any money. And I think he did it because, again, he wanted something to yell at her about, "Look at you spending all this money," when it was him taking us out to eat to spend the money. She eventually ended up getting a job at White Castle's, and she worked a late shift. That way we were in bed and she wouldn't have to worry about childcare. And my dad would not cook us dinner. We just wouldn't have dinner. I remember one night my mom had made a chocolate cake and he made us eat that for dinner. I don't remember him ever cooking for us, and he wouldn't order food either. So we just wouldn't eat. My mom would get home at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would wait up for her to get home and she'd bring me home food to eat. And I remember him throwing a fit about that too, about how I didn't need to eat all this fat food because I'm already fat.
Your dad was always doing that.
Yeah, he still does it to this day. I wore a dress over there on Easter, and he looked at me and said, "What the hell are you wearing? You look like a slut." Because I was wearing a dress that came up to my knees.
So he's and you probably awful. Looked super cute.
I did look super cute. It was purple with skulls on it.
Did don't you care about what he thinks? Wait, what'd you say, Nayoka?
I said, don't care what he thinks, but you go ahead.
I know. I wish I didn't care what he thinks, but I don't know.
Did you have this? Did you have like a good friend through school to help you get through stuff?
Not really that, no. I spent a lot of time at her house, though, because her parents were great.
And you got fed over there, did probably.
You, I was going to say, did you get to eat dinner and stuff there?
Yeah, I did. And when my mom was home, she always made sure we had food and stuff. It was just my dad, he didn't care. Like, I remember eating chocolate cake for dinner one night, and I remember he microwaved some chicken nuggets, and they were still raw. And he said, eat it or don't. Yeah.
You could have got so sick.
Yeah, I know. I crushed my arm when I was 10. I was out skating with some of my sister's friends at the skating rink. And I had a compound fracture on one bone and then completely shattered the other. So I had multiple surgeries. I still have issues with my arm now. But I'm pretty sure that my dad was taking my pain medication. My mom would go to give me medication and there wouldn't be any. And this is me, 10 years old, severely injured. Yeah. So back to when I was 14 and they were going through their divorce and I needed mental health help and all that. My dad was actually going around telling people that his daughter tried to commit suicide, which didn't happen, to get sympathy. A few years later, when I was an adult, I went to get a tire fix at a tire store. And the guy's like, I told him the last name and he recognized it. And he's like, didn't his daughter die? And I'm like, what do you mean? He said, yeah, she committed suicide a few years ago. So apparently he's been going around telling people that his daughter committed suicide for the sympathy.
What?
That's definitely narcissism. Yeah. I don't know. You know what I'm saying. Yeah.
When I was 18, about three or four days, it wasn't long after my 18th birthday, he had asked me for my social security number and the number on my license and all that. And I asked him why, and he said he needed it for the VA because he gets VA benefits because he's disabled, in quotation marks. A few years later, I found out what he had done with that information was he opened up a business license and got a tax-exempt ID through the state so that he could operate a business, but had it all under my name because he was, again, on disability and Social Security benefits, and he wasn't allowed to work. So he racked up $21,000 in back taxes that I was held responsible for because he stole my identity at 18 years old.
You're just now getting out into the world and you have over 20 grand in debt from your dad.
Yeah. And was the business legit? Like, did he really have a business?
Oh, yeah. Well, he would buy pallets of like store returns and resell them at the flea market.
Oh, okay.
But in order to go to some of these places, you have to have a tax exempt ID to show that you own a business. So he did all that. And I remember taking a trip with him to the store one time. And he's, you know, phrased it as, I want to spend some time with you. Later, after I found out what had happened, he was there using my ID to get more stuff to sell so that he didn't have to pay taxes on it and it would be stuck with me. At 16, I had a part-time job working at McDonald's. So I would put all of my money into a bank account that he had opened for me. I should have never done that, but I was 16 and he was my dad. I get a letter in the mail one day saying that my account's overdrawn. He had taken all the money out of my account multiple times. And his excuse was, oh, I must have used the wrong debit card because apparently he had a backup of my debit card. Our PIN numbers weren't the same. It wasn't even the same bank. He always had some reason that it was never his fault.
Did he ever steal and pay the money back?
Yeah, did he?
After my mom made him.
Did the whole debt situation get cleared up or Did that haunt you? That happened
in 2005, and I'm still trying to figure it out in 2024.
So it's still haunting you?
Yeah, it's still on my record. Every time we start the case, a new person takes over. I found out in 2016 when I got a letter in the mail saying that they had cut my state taxes to pay back my $21,000 in back taxes I owed. And when I asked my dad about it, I mean, it's his handwriting. It was his address. I didn't live there. So all the information was his except the name. He doesn't remember it. He says he's got, I forget what he calls it, non-organic brain syndrome. And apparently it's like early onset dementia. It was caused by Agent Orange. He was never around Agent Orange. He was on a boat for like a year, but claims to be this big, huge veteran that did all these wars and stuff when he spent about a year on a boat in the middle of the ocean. But anyway, so if it's something that he's done bad, he can't remember it. But if it's something that you did to cross him 30 years ago, he can remember it. I call it some Tomers.
That's convenient.
Yeah, that is convenient.
Yeah, he doesn't remember any of the things he did to me. He doesn't remember being mean to my mom. He doesn't remember any of that. It's only when it's something he wants to remember, he can remember. Since I've been 17, he's been committing fraud. He gets VA disability. He gets Social Security disability. But yet he's been working this entire time. He builds houses. He does construction. He makes plenty of money and he's still committing fraud. I've tried to turn him in twice and he somehow gets out of it. He told me when I was like 12 that he sold his soul to the devil, and I absolutely believe it. Like, I have criminal charges on him right now that I'm sure will get dismissed.
I wonder if karma will do its job eventually.
I don't know. If anyone can make me not believe in karma, it's him, because he's done horrible things and he's never had to pay the price for it.
He'll pay the price eventually.
Yeah, hopefully. When I was 12, the police showed up to my house with a detective, said that they'd been informed by a family member that we had been sexually assaulted. My dad completely shut that down, said that nothing ever happened, that we're no part of it. It was me and, like I said, about six other female. They were all younger than me, and I was 12 at the time. He'd been sexually abusing them for years. So they knew that I had been abused. And this happened apparently from an infant up until I was 12. And they refused to do anything about it. I asked my mom later why she didn't do something, and it was because my dad. But
12 years?
He knew. Yeah. 12 years. And this man is still free. He's never, I think he got 18 months probation, but it wasn't a sexual charge. And last I heard, he lives in a house full of teenage girls.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So wait, the cops knock on your door. Your dad's like, it has nothing to do with us. And they just take his word for it. Like, what happened?
Yeah. So they did end up talking to, I don't want to give out too much information. Yeah. Another family member. She was little. She was about 7 at the time. And she told them everything. And when they asked if they wanted to press charges, my dad said no.
That shouldn't even be a question to ask him.
Yeah, well, they did, and it got dropped. The worst part of it is when my dad still sees him out in public, he talks to him like he's still his brother-in-law. And I asked him once, because we saw him, and he waved at him. And I'm like, why are you, you know what he did? Why are you okay with that? He said, he didn't do anything to me.
What?
Yeah.
Does he have no soul?
He doesn't. He says he sold his soul to the devil, and I absolutely believe him.
And as we as parents, if you do something to our child, you do that to us too.
Yeah.
Right. None of that matters to him. He's only out for him and himself, and that's all he cares about. It's all he's ever cared about.
It sounds like that he really had your mom under his control. Like he really abused her too.
Yeah, he did. And I didn't even know what the word narcissistic meant until I joined a Facebook group about 2 years ago, and other people started telling their stories. And I went to a lot of therapy and did a lot of research, and it points towards narcissism. And unfortunately, he's married somebody that's just as bad as him, if not worse.
when you found that, you know, other people, like, did it make you feel like, okay, I'm not the only one? It's not me, it's him.
Yeah, because for a long time and still to this day, and I'm 35, I still feel like in the back of my head, like I did something wrong and that's why he didn't love me, even though I know, like, deep down, I didn't do anything wrong. That's still, as a child, you want your parent to love you no matter what.
Yeah, they should be the one person you could depend on.
Yep. I'll get to this part in a little bit, but about 2-3 weeks ago, some stuff happened at my house and the police were involved with them. And my husband texted me and he said, why do you still bother with him? And I cried as I wrote the message and I said, I just want my dad to love me.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, I do too. No matter how bad he is to you, you want that approval.
Yeah, and he's great with my step-siblings and my half-brother. He's the dad that he never was to any of us. Every year they go out on vacations for their birthdays. They get, like, every Christmas for the last, I don't know, 5 years, my step-siblings and half-brother at their house stay in the night, and then Christmas morning's just like if they were small kids, huge presents everywhere, all this, and his other kids don't even get a Christmas card.
So he's, like, created a whole new family and just left you guys behind.
Yeah. And I asked him one time, I'm like, why do you treat them better than you do us? And his response was, because he got to choose them. He didn't choose us.
Oh.
Yeah, that hurt.
Are you still in therapy? Because I think I would be.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. This is probably like a lifelong thing.
It is. And I was actually diagnosed last October with lupus. And they said that it is caused by trauma. And I had no idea. I'd never even really heard of lupus, but apparently past trauma can cause such severe issues that it leads to an autoimmune disorder. So now on top of emotional and all that, I also have to deal with, like, debilitating pain. I'm 35 and I have trouble walking up and down stairs. I broke my hip or fractured it in 2018 because the bone was weak. I have rashes that burn, pop up all over me. My joints hurt. It's just very painful. And all that was caused by trauma.
Yeah, you should not be feeling that way at your age.
Yeah. No. I got shingles when I was 16.
What?
I just bought a new shirt. Yeah. I thought I had just bought some new clothes, so I thought maybe there was something on the shirt that broke me out. So my dad took me to the doctor. And the doctor came back in and he was very puzzled. He's like, you have shingles. And so my dad might thought it was an STD. And yelled at me in the doctor's office.
Oh, wow.
How did I get an STD and I was sleeping with? I had shingles, which is not an STD.
No, it's not.
Shingles can be caused by stress.
Yeah, but usually it's in, like, later in life.
Yeah, my doctor said I was the youngest patient he ever seen with shingles.
Did you ever have chicken pox? Do you remember having that?
You have to have that disease, I think, right?
Yeah.
Usually you get in, like, your 40s and 50s.
Yeah. Like, you can't even get the vaccine until you're, like, 60. I've had 4 outbreaks of it, and every time it's due to stress. Uh-uh. And my insurance will not pay for the vaccine. And last time, I think it was, like, $600.
Whew. That's America for you.
Yeah, it's expensive to be sick.
It is.
So 18, he stole my identity. When I was 20, I met someone, thought it was this magical relationship, got married, got pregnant. And the entire time I was married to a liar and an abuser. He was 10 years younger or 10 years older than he told me he was. He had 5 children. 2 of them I did not know about.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very bad. I finally left. I went to stay with my dad. My parents had, at this time, had been 6-7 years since they'd been divorced, tried to get back together. That lasted about 2 weeks. So I was staying with my mom because I'd left my abusive husband and I was pregnant. I had HG, so I was extremely sick my entire pregnancy and not at the hospital. So I was staying with my dad. My mom decided that was not what she wanted to do, and she just left, and I don't blame her. So I asked my dad, I said, is it okay for me to stay here? I don't have anywhere to go. And he said, yeah, that's fine. When my son was about 3 weeks old, it was right at Christmas time. I was laying in bed with him. It was probably about 8 o'clock in the morning. And my sister texted me, my little sister, she's 5 years younger than me. And the message said, dad said, get your shit and get out. And I texted her and I'm like, what are you talking about? And she texted me back and said, dad said he wants you to get out right now. And I'm like, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't understand what's happening. My dad kicked me out because his new girlfriend of 2 weeks didn't want me in the house. She was 7 years older than me, 7, 8 years older than me. Everyone in town knew her, knew what kind of person she was. And I did not understand why my dad was with her, but he was with her, whatever. So he kicked me out because his girlfriend of 2 weeks didn't want me in the house. So it was right at Christmas. I think I had $40 in my wallet. I packed up all my stuff and left. And again, I have a 3 week old. I just got out of an abusive marriage. I'm doing this on my own.
Where'd you go?
The reason I went to my sister's house and then I got an apartment. So the reason that my dad's girlfriend didn't want me there is because she was leaving in the middle of the night and taking his truck to go see other men. She didn't want me in the house because she didn't want anyone else to see what she was doing.
And he couldn't even tell you himself. He had your sister.
No, he wouldn't. Mm-hmm. My 15-year-old sister at that. So they end up getting married. It doesn't last very long because she's cheating on him and all of this. He's got a habit of being with women that do not have custody of their own children, and I can't understand why. But his second wife and his third wife did not raise their children. I don't know. I think these women are a lot like him.
Sounds like it.
So they get divorced. We get along fine for a couple of years. He gets remarried. This is to my current stepmom. I didn't really have any issues with her until she started making sure that we knew that her kids mattered more to my dad than we do. She doesn't work. When they met, she was with another man. She would take his truck over to my dad's to see him and get money to go do whatever she wanted. All I gotta say is they're perfect for each other. Anybody that they want to take a dig at, they do. And it doesn't matter if one of them's wrong, the other one's still going to follow them. My oldest child spent a lot of time with them because he loved his grandma, my stepmom, and they treated him great. But then it got to the point where they would try to tell me what to do with my own child. They called CPS on me because they were mad that I was leaving my ex-husband. So they called CPS and told them that I was on drugs and that I abandoned my children, both of which were not true. And the CPS worker knew immediately it wasn't true. They did that because they wanted custody of my son. My oldest son. They've always had this, I don't know, bond or something with him, which, I mean, for a normal grandparent, that would be great. When you treat everybody like crap, that's not great.
No.
He would come home telling me stuff that they said about me or different things. The worst part was when my son was 10, we lived a couple hours away from them. So they would come get my oldest son and let him stay for the weekend or for, you know, spring break, whatever break. And he came one day and he said, I know who my dad is. And I'm like, what? He said, my mom and papa told me that I'm adopted and they told me who my real dad is. They told my child that his dad wasn't his dad behind my back just to do it.
That is horrible.
To me, it sounds like they just take every opportunity they can to hurt you, and your son is a good way to do that.
Yeah, it is. But they knew that we were going to sit down with him and tell him that, but they did it behind our back and apparently reached out to his biological father that, again, is abusive, alcoholic, not a good person. I mean, I left when I was pregnant, so my son would never be around that, and they actively went out and tried to set up a meeting with him behind my back.
Wow.
I mean, they should be proud of you for leaving. It's so hard for women who are abused to leave, and you did it.
And my dad hated him, so I don't understand why he would ever want my child around him, but they thought that they could do whatever they wanted when they wanted.
It sounds like they do everything they do is to hurt you.
It is. But yet, if I say that to them, that's me. That's not true. I'm just saying that for attention.
That's called gaslighting.
Yeah, just discovered that word too. discovered all kind of new words.
Yeah, they just try to hurt you in any way they can.
Yeah, they've done things to my siblings too, and other people. I know someone went on a vacation with them for, I don't know, like a weekend getaway. And he talked them into investing, I think it was $4,000 into a business venture. He took that money and refused to pay it back. He literally stole $4,000 from them, a member of his own family, and had no remorse for it whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
And these family members had two small kids at home themselves. He just does not care.
No, he doesn't.
So we moved here back to my hometown in December of 2023. In July, it was my youngest's third birthday. They've never been close to him. They've always treated him different. Like my stepmom will make Facebook posts, you know, taking all my grandkids out to do something and post a picture, but my youngest is never involved. While all the other kids get $100, $150 Christmas presents, my child got a pair of $8 house shoes.
That's awful.
It is. The worst thing, though, was on his third birthday, we didn't really have anyone to celebrate with, so we took the cake over there to their house. And while my three-year-old is sitting in his lap looking at rocks, my dad kept saying, there's something really wrong with this kid. There's something really wrong. And I said, Dad, he's autistic. There's nothing wrong with him. He's just different.
Right.
And my dad, right in front of everyone, says, oh, can't you get a retard check for this kid? I hate that word. I've always hated that word. And for someone to refer to their own grandchild as that word is disgusting.
That is disgusting. Another way to hurt you.
Yeah. And it must have been something I did to make him that way. He's not really autistic. There's something else wrong with him. And their advice was he has severe food sensory issues. He'll only eat about 5 foods. And he drinks Pediasure for the extra nutrients. Their advice to me was to starve him until he eats what I tell him to eat, even if it takes a few days.
Like you're ever going to take parenting advice from him. Yeah, no.
Right. And then when he acts out, and this is their exact words, you need to beat his ass until he doesn't do that anymore.
He obviously knows nothing about autism.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And he's got long hair because he can't tolerate haircuts. And I love his long hair. It's beautiful. My dad would call him a sissy girl. Or say that he's going to grow up to be, I'm not even going to say it, but the F word, gay, another word for gay. Just awful things about him. But him saying, can't you get a retard check for him? I just can't get over that.
And to say that in front of him, too. I mean,
he knows. He knows what he's saying.
That kid understands.
Yeah, he does.
Well, no, he's absolutely terrified of them. They absolutely terrorized him on February 28th. In November, my stepmom said that my sister was looking for a roommate because she couldn't afford the rent, blah, blah, blah. So I thought it'd be a good idea. I don't know why, but to move in with my sister. So we were sharing a 4-bedroom house. As soon as we moved in, she didn't clean. She didn't take care of her cat. It took me 9 days to clean this house. It was that bad. And the landlord had seen it when she was living in it. So she knew how bad it was. There was a dog tied up in the front porch. The vet said that it should have weighed every bit of 50 pounds and it weighed 14.
Oh, no.
It was tied up on the porch to where it was hanging itself. The landlord happened to come by one day and said the dog was going to die, that it was hanging there from the rope. So she untangled it, talked to my sister. As she's going to pull out of the driveway, she sees the dog hanging itself again. So she beats on the door and tells her, you've got to do something with this dog. It's going to kill itself. So anyway, we move in November. I spend 9 days cleaning it. We get all moved in. Everything's great. My stepsister and I, we got along great. We didn't have any issues. Our issues were my mother thinking that she owned the house and could tell us what to do. Anytime she would come here, she would get mad if a piece of furniture was moved or what we had in the bedrooms. And she kept saying, don't forget this is sister's house, not yours. And my stepsister, even in front of her, said, this is our house, not just mine, not just theirs. It's our house. So she didn't like that. So the landlord stopped, hired a new property manager. It was the same one that had come out and seen the dog. She came over and in front of my sister told her, we're not going to rent to you. You don't make enough money. And the house, the way you were keeping it and the animals, that's not okay. We can't allow that. So if you want to stay here, we're going to have to put the lease in your sister and her husband's name, and you can be an occupant, because even if they weren't here, you wouldn't be allowed to stay. So in my view, we saved my sister's house. Nothing was going to change except the paperwork. She didn't have to pay anymore. She didn't have to clean. She didn't have to do anything. All that was changing was the paperwork. Well, my stepmom found out because she wanted to give my stepsister a puppy. Knowing how she had treated her animals before, wanted her to have another dog. And I said, no, I'm not taking care of another dog. I don't want to take care of a puppy. I love puppies just as long as they're not mine. I don't have a house cleaning a dog. I work. I'm going 70 hours a week. I don't have time. And my husband doesn't want to do it either. He stays at home with our 4-year-old. We don't have any help or anything with him. So somebody has to stay home with him.
Yeah.
And ever since my husband's been home with him, he has made humongous progress. He's starting to talk. He's trying new foods. He's made huge progress.
Good.
But so I told my sister no about the puppy. I guess she told my stepmom that I said no about the puppy. So they contacted the landlord, and the landlord emailed them back and said, if you want a puppy, you got to talk to your sister and her husband, because it's technically the lease is in their name. And if something happens, they're the ones held responsible. So next thing I know, I get, 50 text messages in a row calling me a piece of shit, that I'm horrible, that I'm going to go to hell, that all I do is take advantage of people. And I'm like, what's going on? And my dad texts me and says, we need to talk about the house. And I said, what about the house? It's none of his business. So what about it? You know, my stepmom and dad have decided that they're going to change the story and what happened and say that we went behind my stepsister's back and made the landlord put the lease in our name so that we could kick her out. None of that was true. If it hadn't been for us, my sister wouldn't have a house to live in because, again, they weren't going to rent to her. Well, after all that, I ended up blocking all of them because I don't really want to be called all the names in the world on Facebook and text messages and phone calls. They came over 2 days later. I was at work, and my youngest doesn't really know my parents. They live 3 miles away, and he has really no idea who they are. They're the same ones that said that about the R check.
Mm.
But anyway, they had come over, and my husband had to take our youngest upstairs because he was throwing a fit, because home is his safe space. If he doesn't know you, he doesn't want you in there, he'll try to get you to leave. So they come in, and he takes them upstairs, and he tells my teenager to keep an eye on our animals to make sure they don't, you know, go out while they're coming in and out with furniture. When he came back downstairs, our front door was laying in the yard. They had taken the front door off knowing that it was 40 degrees outside and we have a 4-year-old in the house. Threw the door out in the yard and took the screws with them so that we couldn't put it back on. They took anything in the house that they wanted, knowing it didn't belong to her. They left about 10 50-gallon like contractor's bags full of trash all over the house. Everything in the bathroom was just dumped in the floor. Everything in the kitchen was just dumped in the floor. Even things that my sister couldn't use, like a washer and dryer, because she's staying with them right now. They took it so that we couldn't use it. And then, like I said, I'd blocked them on all social media because I didn't want to speak to them. And then people started telling me that they were on there spreading lies, just talking horribly about us, about how we took advantage of them, how we took advantage of them because it wasn't their house. They weren't paying for anything. We were paying for everything and helping her. I mean, we did her laundry. We cooked her dinner. We did everything. It was just like we're raising another child. But they're trying to make us seem like the bad people.
They are truly evil and petty.
Yeah. Well, the police came out and said that they could file property damage. And then I got a phone call saying that my teenager's not here. And I'm like, what do you mean he's not there? My dad and stepmom had taken my 14-year-old without telling me and then dropped him off at another family member's house and wouldn't answer me and tell me where my child was.
Oh, so kidnapping too. That's
yeah. Great. Unfortunately, the police don't see it that way. They said it was custodial interference and it would be hard to prove.
No, that is kidnapping. That sounds like a bunch of bullshit. That is.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you live out in BFE, I guess. They said all that was custodial interference since he was 14 and there wasn't nothing really they could do about it.
No, it's not. Do they not know how to police?
No, they don't.
I'm so angry about this. What happened? How did you get your front door back on since they took the freaking screws? Well,
thankfully, my husband had extra screws and was able to put it back on. But I mean, who takes your front door off and throws it out in the yard knowing that it's 40 degrees outside and there's a toddler, a special needs toddler at that, in the house? My husband came downstairs and went in the living room and he's just looking outside. There's no door.
Did they get charged with theft because they took furniture and stuff?
No.
So that's because not it wasn't theft over, either?
Yeah, because it wasn't over so much in theft. I mean, of it was odd ends, but that's not the point. So I did.
Did they take the door off because, like, to fit furniture out or something?
I'm like, assuming so.
Like, what the hell is the point? And even that, like, put it back on.
Yeah, well, that shows you how much they care. They, like, made, I'm sure they made her move out because in their mind, we did something wrong, even though I can't figure out how we did something wrong. It irritates me that he automatically chooses his stepdaughter's side over his daughter, but there's not even
side to take.
Yeah, nothing bad happened, but no. They want to make sure that I'm being punished somehow for something that, one, is none of their business. She's an adult. Two, it's not like I came in, took her house and kicked her out.
Right.
Nothing was going to change. So I did go file property damage where they damaged a lot of stuff. So I'm still waiting on that to happen. And then a few days ago, the property manager sends me a screenshot and she said, "Who is this?" So I went to read the message. My stepmom, using her own phone number, had texted the landlord and told her that we were sex offenders, that we molested children.
Holy.
Who the fuck does that?
Yeah, well, thank you.
Bitches.
They're trying to get us kicked out of a house, knowing, again, that these are their grandchildren.
Well, that can easily be debunked, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. But to go that far to try to hurt me is ridiculous. I mean, I can understand if I did something wrong, then being mad, yeah. But if we weren't living here, my stepsister literally would not have a house.
Please tell me that you have completely severed ties with these people.
I have not spoke to any of them.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
They do nothing but hurt you.
It's so hard, though, when you're the better person. Because, like, I have family members that, well, it's not really on my side, but that have done stuff like, maybe not the same ballpark, but kind of, I don't know. But, like, you always want to be the better person. Is that how you feel, Marie? Like, you just try to be the better person? And
yeah, there's been times where I didn't want to be the better person, but I know I'm better than them, so I don't want to act like them.
Right.
And that's hard to do because they're trying to hurt your family.
Well, yeah. They put me in a car one time that they knew was dangerous. Something had happened to my car, so I needed a new one. And my dad had told me that he had a car for sale. But there wasn't anything wrong with it. It was just older. And like an idiot, I took his word for it. We had it about 6 days before we had to put almost $3,000 worth of work into it multiple times. And then later I found out that he had actually went to another state and bought it for $100 to use as junk parts, that it wasn't even road safe. The frame was completely rusted out. The transmission was about to fall in. And he knew that. And charged me $1,800 for it, not caring if I got hurt or not.
You're not the idiot, though. I mean, who would think that he would put your life in jeopardy like that? Like, that's on him.
That is on him.
Well, they tried to pay me $500 to get hit by a train in their SUV so they could collect insurance money on it.
They're lovely. Wow. Yeah.
They wanted to pay me $500, of course, after they got the insurance money, but they wanted me to take their SUV and drive it onto the train tracks. And then told me to jump right before the train hits it.
Yeah, like, okay, that's a normal thing.
Yeah, I can't believe they would even think I would do that. And two, your child could get hit by a train and you're okay with that as long as you get a new SUV?
Apparently so.
They reached out to a couple other family members too, so.
And now they're blasting you all over social media. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, literally committing fraud every single month. Plus insurance fraud, or conspiracy to commit insurance fraud. Plus just being a horrible person to your children.
Right.
And they think they have something on me to talk about.
If I were you, I would document everything, record everything, anything
that you can do.
I would save it and record it because you don't know if a day is going to come where you got to pull all that out, you know? You got to protect yourself.
I know this sounds awful, but my first thought after the night that they came and did this to the house and took my 14-year-old, I thought maybe they took my 14-year-old so they could do something to our house and not have to worry about him being in it. That was my very first thought, and that is not a normal thought to have about your parents.
No.
Yeah, that's terrible that they make you think that way.
Yeah. But I can honestly see how you would think that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't sleep for like 2 days because I was worried. And then one of my coworkers sent me home with cameras. She's like, here, I feel like you need these.
Yeah, you should. I don't know if you have them inside your house, but you can get some really cheap cameras, like $30, you know? Like, I would at least have one in the main room that people walk into or something. I don't know. Yeah. I don't trust these people.
We've got some for now, but I will eventually get more.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a million other things that he's done that I can't think of, but overall, he's just been crappy.
So what I want to know is, I know that other people are out there experiencing this growing up with a parent that's probably the same exact way. What would you advise them to do?
Get away. They're not going to change.
Yeah.
Did it
help you when you told the school? Do you think times are different now where they would?
Say that again.
Do you think times are different now where they would take that more seriously?
I hope so.
I hope so too.
Our local school system, no. There's been several issues, and that's why my youngest goes to a different county. Mm. There's been several instances of special needs children getting physically hurt at school and them covering it up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's made the papers a few times, so I don't trust the school system. But there's something I forgot to add.
Okay.
So we used to get future punishments. I would come home from school, and it was usually only me, but I would come home from school, elementary age, all the way up through middle school. And he'd make me sit at the kitchen table, and he would take his belt off and smack the table with the belt and say that he knew what I did, and I better go ahead and tell him what I did now before it gets worse. And he would do this for like an hour at a time, just standing over me, screaming, smacking the table with his belt. Sometimes I did get hit with the belt. His favorite thing to do was, I don't even call it a spanking, because he would just take that belt and hit me wherever he could, wherever.
That's like when officers interrogate somebody in a room for hours on end until they say something. That's like what they're doing to a kid, but with a belt.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Marie, for coming on the show and telling us your story. I know that had to be like really difficult. I think that this can definitely help someone else. So anyone that needs to report child abuse and needs to chat live or call or text, there is a website called childhelphotline.org, and the phone number is 800-422-4453. You can also text. If you go on the website, you can have a live chat, and there would be someone that will be able to help you in your situation. And yeah, this is a great site. Yeah. Definitely look at this if you need to.
So is it different than the national, what is it, exploited children? Is it different than that?
It is different, yeah. So it's, you can contact a counselor to have like resources and support and talk through difficult situations. You can report child abuse on there. It says we walk you through next steps, whether you are experiencing abuse, have witnessed abuse, or have questions about how to cope and heal from abuse. However, it does say if you believe that a child is in immediate danger, please contact 911 for help. So there's a section for survivors and how you can go through the healing process. There's a section for being the parent or the loved one. And there's a section for being a teen. I mean, it looks like they really cover a whole bunch of different things. So that looks like a very good source to go to, at least in America. I don't know about other countries, but yep. I think that wraps it up. This is Child Abuse Month. So we are wanting to bring awareness to everyone. And if you have any questions or want to try to reach out to Marie, and if there's a way that I can put you in contact with her to maybe answer any questions, feel free to hit us up on Facebook, or you can email us. We're always available for you. Do you have anything to add, Rachel?
Thank you, Marie, for sharing your story. That's an incredibly brave thing to do. And I'm sorry that those things happened to you, but that the things he said or did does not determine who you really are.
And I'm sorry that you're still experiencing this as an adult. All right. And that does it for this episode of Operation Evil. And we'll be back with a story in a couple weeks. That's it. Goodbye.
Bye.